Welcome to the Progressive Murder Mystery Podcast, where we follow the life of our villain, who will become a victim. So once again we ask, who killed Donald T. Johnson? Recent episodes have seen him do dastardly deeds in Perth and Brisbane in Australia, Macau and Hong Kong, Guatemala in San Jose, and Reykjavik in Iceland. In this episode, we see him begin and end in the UK with The Escort by Jill Korn. But before we begin, let us remind you that he is a rich and powerful man, so doesn't always perform the deeds himself. In fact, we would like to introduce you to Mr. No Name.
Donald Johnson?
Nah, never met the guy.
Don't know him at all.
But of course, I know of him.
Well, you would have to be dumb, deaf and blind not to have heard of him. He hits the headlines in some scan or another every so often, and while it seems legit, behind the scenes it's a different story. Christ, the man had no conscience. We all know that. In fact, I was reading up about a month or so ago. He had been a very naughty boy with the Gigi's. A few races had been won that raised more than a few eyebrows. And then again, a few thoroughbreds had finished up in the knacker's yard before their time. All very strange. They've all one thing in common. Squeaky clean DJ suddenly had much bigger bank account in a new country. But if you want to talk big time, you can't get past the casinos. He seemed to have one in every city, and the punters are never the ones walking away with a smile on their face. Mind you, if you've got the money to throw out a few million for a night's fun, you have to expect to pay your debts in the morning. And I make sure they do, because I can be very persuasive. Now, when I say I don't know DJ, that's not to say that I haven't done the odd job for him. But it would never be direct with him, of course. There are middlemen in the trade who act as go-betweens for supply and demand. They get their cut, and rightly so. That's the first place the narcs go to for info, and sometimes they get a little fist happy. But you expect your supplier to stay stum. And of course, if they don't, well, they know what to expect. Now, when it comes to women, well, we could stack them up by the dozens or maybe the hundreds. But of course, they were recruited when little more than kids. Attracted to the flattery, the money, the glamour, and a fancy lifestyle. But they were simply being groomed for sex and found themselves on the scrap heap by the time they were 18. You can well understand a parent of a young girl suffering from a backyard abortion, drugs or disease, deciding to do a little DIY when it came to dispensing justice or revenge. And that's where I came in again. Even if it is on the other side of the fence, I'm always prepared to give it a little helping hand, you might say. The price is always negotiable. But once settled, I'll take a third up front, and once the deed is done, I'll come knocking for the remainder. My customers don't need to get their hands dirty, and I don't need guilt trips by knowing too much about the backstory. See what I mean? I'm strictly professional. All I know is a who, a when, and a where. Not interested in the why, and I decide on the how. I've been plying my trade since I was 18, nearly 20 years ago now, but like old Blue Eyes,
I do it my way.
The Escort by Jill Korn.
I shouldn't be doing this, really. I just need to say it out loud. I don't even know why. It's like my own confessional, I suppose. Forgive me, Father, and all that. Stop believing that nonsense back in primary school. I had my reasons, but I guess it's a habit, isn't it? A bad habit. Anyway, I can erase this. You can't erase the priest. And nobody's going to hear any of this but me. I don't even want to hear it. I've just got to say it. That call from Mom. Up until then, things were normal. Well, as normal as they ever are. You'd think I lived in Australia or something, not 100 miles down the road in London. I saw a name come up. I thought, here we go. When are you coming to see us? I was there for Christmas, for God's sake. It's not even February. I must have sounded a bit off. It's not very nice, really, but I just get so fed up of my mum, the bloody martyr. Oh, no. All right. At work, just now. Bit busy, we'll call later. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Is Dad okay? Kiss, kiss, kiss. Heart. Oh, for God's... Hi, Mom. Look, I really am pretty busy. We've got 2 new contracts to get out by... What, this weekend, you mean? Well, I can, but what's up? It's Dad, isn't it? What do you mean, sort of? Is he okay or not? Right. So why this weekend? What's so... Yeah, I'll come. No, I don't need the train fare. I'll text you from the station, all right? Look, I've got to go, Mom. See you Saturday, okay? Yeah, love you too. Oh, Mom, what now? Is this your rucksack? You don't mind if I move it along a bit, do you? Thanks. No, I can manage, thanks. Bit late with your offer of help there, mate. Anyway, you're not touching my bag, you might scratch the leather. Don't suppose you've ever heard of Louis Vuitton, loser. Good. Table to myself. Pain getting up at Sparrow's Fart, but at least it's a quiet train. That was a good night, though. Worth a few quid. Stella can't complain at that. Guy must be richer than God. How am I going to get through this weekend? Always dread it, seeing Dad in that state. If he even knew me. Perhaps he does. I don't know. Know what amazes me? I look up and down this train and there isn't one single person who's well dressed. Suppose it might be different in first. But it's not, though. Shops full of beautiful things and nobody in this godforsaken country ever looks half decent. Only the people with real money and taste. And me. Well, if Stella keeps paying me what I'm owed and the introductions keep coming, I'll get there eventually. At least I look the part. He's quite cute. Bet I can make him look at me. Glance up, meet his eye, look away again. And I bet he turns back for a second look. But I don't. You're not in my league, mate. Mom met me off the train and insisted we head straight to the ballroom for something to eat. I said, you don't need to do that. And anyway, who's with Dad? She said, Auntie Lou was sitting with him till we get back. She said, he'll be glad to see you. He always is. I felt bad then, because I know I don't come up as often as I should. I asked her about the Alexa I'd bought him at Christmas, and Mom said she plays it for him every day. Only she thinks he might be getting fed up of all the same old music, and she's run out of ideas for what to ask it to play. I'm not sure how she can tell he's fed up, but she can read his expression, so she says. So this chit-chat was going on for a bit till I asked her straight out. I said, why did you ask me to come up, Mom? It's not just to buy my dinner, is it? Is Dad worse? Have they said... I couldn't say it. Is Dad going to die soon? She said, no, he was just the same, as far as she can tell. So what is it, Mom? What am I doing here? She was getting down the white wine pretty quick. She topped her glass up again and took a good swig. She said, do you know, I still miss being able to smoke in the pub. I didn't say anything. Just waited. Then she said, is that man? He's coming to London. I had no idea what she was talking about. I said, what man? There's thousands coming to London. It's a royal wedding. You won't be able to move for tourists. She goes, Don Johnson. I still didn't twig. What about him? She goes, Don Johnson, the Australian billionaire, is coming for the wedding. Now we're starting to get it. Well, I thought I was. I said, I know you always thought he was behind Dad's injuries. I saw her eyes get red. You can't even mention that time without Mum getting upset. She said, I don't think, Alex, I know he was. If it wasn't for that bastard, Rick would still be normal. He'd be here. And she starts to cry. And just then the waitress brings the food and she pretends not to notice, Mum, but I can see people looking. I say, shush, Mum. Shush now. I know, I know. I pass her my paper napkin. I wait till she recovers a bit. Neither of us wants to eat anything by now. Mum takes a deep breath. In and out. She looks straight at me and she says, I've worked it all out, Alex. I know how we can do it. Do what, Mum? Don Johnson, she says. I know how we can kill him. Hello, Dad. How you doing, eh? How's my handsome dad? I'll sit you up a bit, shall I? Where's your remote? I think that's okay for you now. Has Mum said anything to you, Dad? About Don Johnson? I wonder if you can hear me. I'm not sure whether I want you to or not. I miss you, Dad. I miss my big, strong, handsome policeman, Dad. I remember when the phone call came, you know. I was only 9. I heard Mum's voice change and I knew something was wrong even then. We thought you'd be back that weekend. We'd sort of got used to you working away in London, but we always looked forward to you coming home. You used to bring me daft presents, do you remember? London bus key rings and Union Jack slippers. Even when we saw you in the hospital, we thought you'd get better. Policemen get beaten up every day, don't they? And most of them get over it. But not you. Not a senior specialist in economic crime, seconded to look into the money laundering shenanigans of Donald T. Johnson. The Met knew who was behind the beating, all right, and they didn't have a shred of evidence. For a long time, they thought they'd be looking at murder. But you survived, didn't you, Dad? Just. I think you need change, darling. Yeah, I thought so. I'll just put your bed back down. There, I'll see to it. Don't you worry. were a kid and you tried to keep secrets from your parents and they always knew somehow? It was like that. I was still trying to take in what Mum was saying and then she threw me again. She said, "You're never affording that flat and those clothes on an apprentice's wage, Alex. What else are you doing?" So I told her. I said, "I work as an escort, Mum." "Oh, do you indeed?" she said. "But I don't, you know, it's not like being a..." She said, "Hooker." That was a bit near the mark. I'm like, "No, I don't do anything like that." Mum looked at me across the table, like she knew I was lying. "Well," she said, "you couldn't be better placed." I'm like, "You what?" She said, "It's the ideal way to get close to Johnson. I thought I'd got it all planned out, but this makes it even better." So today, I have to meet her off the train at Euston and we're going shopping together. I'll be looking forward to that. Just try and stop me normally. But I am so scared. I want to tell her it's not on. Not even for Dad, just not on. Hello, Stella. I can't talk for long because I'm on my break here. Can I ask you something? No, I'm not asking for an invitation to the royal wedding. Me? But I did wonder about the rehearsal dinner. Yeah, the one that all the celebrities will be at. Did you have anyone lined up for that? I mean, some pretty minted folk will be there. I'm on the list. Amazing. I so want to go. Are we being respectable escorts, given it's a royal occasion, or... You know how to be ultra discreet. I've never not behaved properly. You'll let me know if anyone's looking for something special, though, won't you? Fantastic. Let me know where and when. Thanks, Stella. Oh, well. I kept my promise, Mum. But I don't know that I can go through with this. Talk to. I don't know who to tell. Some bloody shopping trip that turned out to be. We bought all this expensive stuff, a dress, shoes, makeup. Mum insisted on everything making me look younger. She wouldn't let me wear anything of mine. She said she knows what Don Johnson's tastes are, and I need to look about 16 even when I'm dressed up. She said she's already nailed the job waitressing at the dinner. I was trying to tell her I'd changed my mind. But she was kind of manic. She insisted we go to Harrod's posh tea room, and when we finally stopped and sat down, I tried again. I just told her, "I don't think I can do this. I know what happened to Dad." She said, "You don't know the bloody half of it, Alex." "What do you mean, Mum?" Mum stared at me like she was making her mind up about something. She said, "Your dad's beating wasn't the end of it. After we got him home, I started making phone calls to the chief constable, to the Met, even the Home Office, because the investigation was going nowhere. And then one day, out of the blue, I get a call from someone who says he's from the Police Complaints Authority and he'd like to come to the house, meet Dad and talk to me. So I let him in. His name was Danny Carver and he wasn't from the police." My mum had this look on her face like she was made of stone or something. She never took her eyes off me. I said, "What happened?" "He threatened you," she said. "And you as well, Mum." "Oh, he did better than that," she said. She finally looked away from me. She said, "Danny Carver told me what he'd do to me if I didn't shut up. And then he did it anyway. Told me to be thankful he hadn't made your dad watch." And suddenly I remembered a day. Just an ordinary school day, except when I came in, Mum wasn't bustling about like she usually was, nagging me to take my shoes off and put my coat away and all that. She was curled up on the sofa in a tight ball, and she hadn't heard me come in. She tried to act normal when she saw me, but she looked weird, sort of gone away. That same made of stone look that she had today. So, I will find a way to be Mr. Johnson's escort for the pre-wedding dinner. And I'll practice being 16 and breathlessly impressed. And together, we will kill him. Hi, Mum. Can you just press press the video button. Yeah, that's it. You okay? Yeah, me too. Yes, it's all sorted. Look, I'll tell you later. Okay, but I really want to talk to Dad. I know, but I need to talk to him on my own. Fine. Can you prop it up so I can see him and he can see me? Yes, that's it. Can you just leave it with him for a couple of minutes? I won't be long. Thanks, Mum. Hello, Dad. We've never tried this before, have we? I don't really know why. It's lovely to see you. I wonder how you're feeling today, darling. Handsome as ever, anyway. I need to talk to you, Dad. I have no idea whether you can hear me or not. I remember a lot about us, Dad. All the usual daddy-daughter stuff and having a laugh about stupid things and going out on Friday nights for burger and chips with no gherkins. And when I was in the school play and you sat in the front row clapping like mad and you said I was so good an actress, you didn't even recognise me. I remember how proud I was that my dad was a policeman. Even though my friend said if he didn't have a uniform, he wasn't a real one. I remember you saying to me that even though you didn't wear a uniform, your job was the same as any policeman's. It was to look after people and make sure that bad people didn't harm them. And that people who did harm others could very well be punished if the law said so. It all sounded so easy the way you said it, Dad. Like you could make everything all right with the law on your side. Didn't quite work out like that though, did it? So, perhaps I have to go about it a different way. And just make sure we don't get caught. Maybe you weren't always right, Dad. But it doesn't really matter. I love you as much now as ever I did. Bye, Sal. See you whenever. Ooh, thank God for that. Don't need company just now. Here I am in my own confessional. Forgive me, Father. I wonder if he would. Not this time, I bet. I'm looking in the mirror and thinking the salon made an amazing job of me. Funny, really, how all that makeup can make you look like you're hardly wearing any. If I open my eyes wide, I look as though I've only just changed out of my school uniform. And my hair? I'm classy and posh and very, very young. I'll get the dress on in a minute. So modest and suggestive at the same time. I think I can manage to get Donald T. Johnson just a bit hot under the collar. Mum's got the stuff to put in his champagne and she'll make sure my glass is just fizzy juice. She reckons 10 minutes for it to take effect and I'll hang on to his arm all that time so he thinks I'm the one that's woozy. When the time's right, I'll murmur in his ear. I'm feeling a bit dizzy. I think I might need some fresh air. Is there a balcony or anything? And Mum will follow us out there. And that'll be that. Splat. Must remember to erase this. Oh my God, look at the time. The limo will be here in 10. Jeez, I better get dressed. Yes, I'm nearly there. Why on earth are you phoning me? It's fine, I'm fine. Just look out for me. I know what I'm doing. Okay, look, we're here. Got to go, Mum. Yeah, love you. Bye. That's fine, thank you. I'm sorry. I should have had the money ready. I'm so sorry. Here you are. Thank you again. Miss Sandra Smithson. Mr. Johnson is expecting me. Do you need to see the invitation?
Not another one.
Hi, This is Alex. Where am I? Maybe I'll tell you later. Meantime, leave a message. Ta.
Another one dropped from old Bail Liz. Yeah, I'll bring it in. These young tars. Not a brain cell between them. More bloody paperwork for us, eh?
It has been reported that the controversial billionaire Donald T. Johnson has died. A rooftop party with approximately 200 guests hosted by the billionaire was underway when he was rushed to Great Ormond Street Hospital late yesterday evening, but died shortly after admittance. Police have cordoned off the entire area and detained guests until they can ascertain how this incident occurred.
The Escort was written and performed by Jill Korn with sound design by John Boyd at By The Way. It was recorded at McCalla Studios, Glasgow by David R. Simpson.
Other performers include Roger Cross as Mr. No Name and Julie Baker once again was the newsreader. For more information about this and other podcasts in this series, please go to progressivemurdermysterypodcasts.com, where you will find links to Best Served Cold, Bullseye, Minnows and Big Fish, The Truth of the Matter, and Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate. All of our creatives love to be acknowledged, so we would appreciate a tick of approval or a good review, for which we will thank you. Thank you.